This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
102 on the fan, and Marcus Stroman arrived to spring training yesterday. I know it was a couple days late, but he arrived. He's spending some extra time with the kids, which, whatever. Like, there was nothing wrong with him not showing up on quote-unquote on time, which it wasn't really even on time. It was more early. He showed up on time. Showed up when he had to. That being said, though, there was a conversation, obviously, right away with Marcus Stroman about potentially, you know, being a bullpen guy, because they seem to have, the Yankees seem to have a rotation, a five-man deep rotation with, you know, Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt. Where's the role for Marcus Stroman? And when peppered with questions, he said, I'm a starter. That's what I am. I'm a starter. And a lot of people got pissed by that. A lot of people got pissed by the fact that Marcus Stroman went out and said that I'm a starter. And I love to hear when Brian Cashman spoke afterwards. He said the same thing that I will always say about Marcus Stroman. That's who he is. He's a fighter, man. Like, he's a proud guy, but he's a fighter. He will never not speak his mind and say what he's got to say. And that's kind of how he is on the mound. That's exactly how Marcus Stroman is on the mound. He goes out there and fights. He does not give in. Now, I'm not going to say it always works out. I mean, there's sometimes he's battling himself. He's battling the guys up at the plate. He's battling everything in the world. You know, and sometimes, yeah, it's not perfect. Sometimes his defense falls apart and lets up those runs that, you know, he battled through and maybe got the bases loaded, but made the pitch to get out of the inning, and then all of a sudden there goes a, you know, whatever, and then the run scored. But I would have got out of the inning because I made the pitch I needed to, but the defense wasn't there. Well, you know, on the other hand, you could have just not allowed those players on base. So there's two sides of everything. But regardless, Marcus Stroman is a battler. And the one thing, and I understand the fact that he doesn't want to be in the bullpen, and obviously he's got his contract this year where, you know, it, basically the vesting option picks up if he goes and pitches for 140 innings. So I get the fact that he wants to go out and start, and he wants to try to get to 140 innings. And let's be serious here. It's been off and on as far as how many innings he can give in a season no matter what, whether you put him in the bullpen or you make him a starter. He just doesn't pitch that many innings because he is fighting through. He's going three, four innings and battling. And there, you know, even if he pitches every fifth, sixth day, he's still fighting through it. He's not really giving you these deep games. Maybe this is the year he does it, but for the most part, he doesn't do that. But he still has value. And that's the one thing that, you know, I looked at his numbers, and I know that last year wasn't perfect, and I know that the second half numbers the past couple of years have been far from good. Far from good. But overall, like, he's still a very viable pitcher. We talk about the Mets all the time and talk about how the, you know, the starting pitching, if you can give me an ERA of 4.5, and I know that doesn't sound great. If you can give me an ERA of 4.5, it's basically three runs you've given up. In six innings, you've given up three runs. It's not great. It's not perfect. But you've put yourself in a situation, you put your team in a situation where you can win. That you're, you know, even if you're down 3-1, you can come back. It's, the game's not out of hand. So, you know, he doesn't pitch to a 6 ERA. He pitches to a 4.31 ERA last year. The year before that, 3.95. The year before that, low threes. Like, he is consistently in this, like, mid to high threes. That's what he is. His worst season, I think, was in, like, 2016, 2017. There was a year where he pitched to, like, a 5-something ERA. Yeah, it was bad. But pretty much he's always in the threes, maybe low fours. That's fine. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's an ace. But in a league where pitchers, first of all, starting pitchers, barely pitch every single game that they're supposed to start, it doesn't really happen. It doesn't really happen. Whether it's injuries, whether it's rainouts, postponements, whatever the case is, doubleheaders take place. You know, things get changed around all the time. So you're not just going to rely, no matter how good the Yankee lineup is, you're not going to rely on just five starters all year long. I mean, that's just a fact. You never know. Garrett Cole last year got hurt randomly. I mean, if he gets hurt, what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of Marcus Stroman and let's go to the back end of, like, the rotation. Let's find out somebody in AAA. Maybe we can call him up for a little bit, see if he can turn into something. Who knows? I mean, the Yankees didn't go and sign a bunch. They signed Carlos Carrasco. They signed Carlos Carrasco this offseason. You're going to sit there and try rely on Carlos Carrasco or Marcus Stroman? And I understand Marcus Stroman's owed $18 million. Okay, so that's a lot of money compared to Carlos Carrasco. But let's be serious. And I love Cookie. Cookie's been pitching to a 6 ERA the past few seasons. That's what he does. Marcus Stroman doesn't. You might say that, oh, well, he did the second half of the season, but the first half was not that high. So he can keep you in games when needed. He can keep you, yeah, maybe not the whole season, but for a majority of it, he can keep you in games. So I think that the fact that the Yankees are thinking about Marcus Stroman as somebody that can't be on this roster, I think is false. The other thing is the reason why they're thinking about Marcus Stroman shouldn't be on this team is because they want to get Nolan Arenado or potentially get Nolan Arenado or because they know they need a third baseman. But the reality is, this is the reason why I didn't think Juan Soto was good for the Yankees, because if the Yankees went out and got Juan Soto, you were not going to make the moves you needed to make to bring in excess talent. Now, listen, Bellinger was brought in, Goldschmidt brought in, Max Fried brought in. They got to figure something out at third base. End the story. Marcus Stroman shouldn't have anything to do with what's going on at third base. I know that he's part of the payroll, but he should not have anything to do with what you do at third base. If you want Nolan Arenado, go get him. Now, I don't know if they really want him, but if they do, go get him. Doesn't make a difference if you have Stroman on the team or not. It doesn't. Because in the end, you might actually really need Stroman and Arenado. So they shouldn't have anything to do with each other. But you're the Yankees. You went out, and this was the gripe that I had with Pete Alonso and the Mets. You were the Mets. You just went and spent $765 million on Juan Soto. And you're sitting there nickeling and diming Pete Alonso. You got to, I mean, listen, it worked out for the Mets. 2 years, $54 million. I mean, geez, they got lucky. They got lucky. And you could say, oh, well, $30 million, make it $30 million for 1 year. I mean, it's 1 year. That's it. You're not committing. You're not committing 6 years of 30 mil a year. 1 year, 30 mil. That's all it is. Nolan Arenado, I understand he's going to be, you know, working out. You got to work out the money with the Cardinals. There's potentially, you know, he still has a little bit of a, you know, he's got 3 years left. I think it's 52 mil, I think it is for Nolan Arenado. Whatever it is, it's not absurd, but he's the declining player. So you don't want to spend a ton on a declining player. So you want to get the team to pick up some of the salary. I get it. But it shouldn't make a difference if you need the player. Find a way to get the player. That's what it comes down to. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to these phone calls. Jeff is in Kings Park. Wants to actually talk about Pete Alonso. What's going on, Jeff? How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Pete? You know, it's funny that you're talking about Pete Alonso. I couldn't agree with you more. As a diehard Met fan, I have been there the entire time. Brody Van Wagenen brought up Pete Alonso. Five general managers later, Jared Porter, Zach Scott, Sandy Alderson, Billy Epler, and now David Stearns. Since six general managers, all Pete Alonso has done has been leading to be every major Met statistical leader. But David Stearns says, oh, we only need him for 1 year. I think it's utterly ridiculous. If I could ever sit down with Steve Cohen, I would say read the pulse of the fan and understand that if Pete Alonso, who's been there the entire time, is tracking to be the statistical leader in every single Mets category, maybe we want to keep him around for a couple of years. Guy has done everything.
It's funny because you know that I do the Rico Bronya with Evan, and we were just kind of going, Evan Robertson, we were going through the numbers the other day, just like the best, the all-time best podcast that we've done, the single episodes. And the biggest ones that we've done, the two biggest ones, have been, number one, Jacob DeGrom leaving to go to the Rangers. That was the biggest one. The next biggest one, not Juan Soto, but Pete Alonso coming back. And this is somebody that we talked about painlessly for months this offseason. And yet that was the biggest episode that we had for downloads and listens was the Pete Alonso episode, which is, by the way, episode 425 if you want to listen to it. But that's the point is that Pete Alonso is loved by Mets fans. Mets fans want Pete Alonso around. And you're talking about a guy who, honestly, Jeff, I think he's done after this year with the Mets. Like he's not going to be a Met for life.
Yes, that's what's very hurtful. And the thing is, as you said, with Pete Alonso, he is one of the best Mets we've ever had. And there should have been no drama involved. If you're going to give Juan Soto, an outsider, $765 million, it should not have been a problem to pivot to Alonso and give him a respectable contract and keep him in Queens for the next 4 to 5 years. Should never have been a problem. It should never even have been a discussion. It should have happened a long time ago.
Right. Well,
I know they
listen,
offered him a contract.
They did offer that.
He turned it down.
Yeah.
But there's also a negotiation to keep him.
Yeah. I mean, I won't lie. I'm going to put that on Pete Alonso that he screwed that part up. He screwed up the fact that they offered him a contract. He declined it.
Agreed.
And that he fired his agent. And they got Scott Boras. And the fact is, last year he did not go out and have a Pete Alonso season. He didn't. Which... So yeah. he those three things are against Pete Alonso. You can't deny it. But on the other hand, too, like it's you're right. Pete Alonso is somebody who should have they should give him more respect. There's no reason why Pete Alonso should be like, we only can sign you for a year.
Agreed. And as your Rico Bronya podcast partner Evan Roberts scrolled out, he gave us one of the biggest home runs in Mets history in that Milwaukee game.
Yep.
So the respect should have been there. I couldn't agree more. Hey, I appreciate your time tonight. You guys are doing a great job. Have a great night, man.
Jeff,
thank you.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it, dude. And happy belated Valentine's Day. I should say that to everybody. Happy belated Valentine's Day to you and everyone else out there. I 100% agree. The Pete Alonso, I don't want to say hate, because it's not hate by the Mets fan. It's just like this weird situation that's going to stick around for at least another year. It's like, it's, and I think that Evan kind of put it this way. It's like the girlfriend that, you know you're going to break up with, you try to go back and forth with, and eventually you guys break up. Well, this one is like, well, we're getting back together for a year, and then we're going to break up in a year. It's annoying. It's like, I don't want that. I think this is a good fit. And we'll find out this year how good of a fit is Pete Alonso. But the reality is, if Pete Alonso has a great season, if Pete Alonso hits 40 home runs, bats, and I'm not, maybe this isn't great to most people, but if he bats over 250, his OPS is 850 or over 900 or whatever the case is, you know, hits 40 home runs, drives in 110, 120 RBIs, is he coming back? Are the Mets going to sign him? They don't sign people his age to long-term deals. And Pete Alonso's going to want a long-term deal. So we're going to go through the same process again at the end of the year. But at least this year, we could relax, take a sigh, and enjoy the fact that Pete Alonso is indeed in this lineup with Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto. And that to me is awesome. Now listen, as far as the lineup goes with the Mets, I am still not convinced that it's perfect. This is why, like, next year, if they do go for Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Kyle Tucker or whomever they choose to go for, I'd still bring Pete Alonso back again. Like, it makes sense to have Pete Alonso as the DH on this team, whether it's a floating DH or whatever the case is, but have Pete Alonso on the team still with Juan Soto and Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Mark Vientos and Francisco Lindor. Like, it's you just making the lineup a juggernaut. And for all the people that say, but you can't have an all-star in every position. Well, first of all, the Mets don't have an all-star at every position. They have Tyrone Taylor and Jose Siri at center field. That's the definition of non-all-star, okay? You look up what's a non-all-star in the dictionary, it's a picture of Tyrone Taylor and Jose Siri. That's the first thing. Second of all, though, it's the Mets and it's Steve Cohen. Now, David Stern spoke a ton the other day. I think it was Wednesday, he spoke to the media for the first time. And there was a lot coming out of his mouth. I don't have anything to play back just now off the top of our with Jack. But if you go listen to it, and we'll try to find the audio. But there was points and times where he was asked about what he was going to do at the point when they brought in A.J. Minter and Jesse Winker. Did they think that was it for the offseason? Did they plan to have Pete Alonso come back? And he said there was multiple layouts of how they were going to build this team, and this version was one of the higher versions of what the team would look like. Didn't say they capped it at this version, just said it was one of the higher ones, which means it could have been higher. Means they could have gotten somebody else of, star power, whether it was a relief pitcher, maybe there was a starting pitcher they were thinking about, maybe there was another bat they were thinking about, who knows? But the point is that this payroll, which is super high right now after signing Pete Alonso, would have been higher because they were thinking about it. Like, they have it laid out that they can go and get guys at all levels. There's no one that's off limits. And that, to me, is amazing, which is why next year, you can't tell me that Pete Alonso can't be back and you can't have Vlad Guerrero or Kyle Tucker or somebody else of that status at the same time. You can get them both. You can get them all. It's if they want to do it. 888-808-1019. We'll come back with more of your phone calls And we'll get more into the Mets offseason as spring training is here. And really, I want to get into the batting orders people have been talking about. And I want to just put out why I am not so high on Brandon Nimmo again this year. And it's not a hate thing. People got to stop it. It's not that I hate Brandon Nimmo. He actually reminds me of somebody that I used to love so much in baseball. So we'll get into that coming up next. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. .1019. That's the number to call. Pete off with you on the Fan. Now, listen. People can constantly think that I'm a hater of Brandon Nimmo. And I will just say this much. I am just not as high on Brandon Nimmo as most other people are. I think that Brandon Nimmo can be a player that is effective for the New York Mets this season. I totally do. I just don't think he is on the top of my list. When people think, ooh, who the top five for the batting order? I don't think of Brandon Nimmo. And I got to be honest with you, there's one player that I always say I compare him to. It's a left-handed version of Hunter Pence. Now, I don't think he's as productive as Hunter Pence was. Hunter Pence, not saying that he had more power, but he just definitely, similar characteristics. They are not your typical player. They're a little bit dirtier. They have to grind it out a little bit more. They make plays look a little bit harder than they got to be. But whatever, they go out there and play hard. And that's what you love to see. But the difference is that Pence hit for a better average. He made more contact. I think he had more power. He drove in more runs consistently. Now, I understand people are going to sit there and say, oh, but look at last year. Brandon Nimmo had 23 home runs. He drove in 90 RBIs. Look, he could do it. That was the first year he's ever done that. I mean, let's be serious. Let's not act like Brandon Nimmo's been this prolific power hitter his entire career. He's not. He's not even close to it. And yes, he had 90 RBIs last year, which is great. But he's never done that before. Like, he doesn't do that. And he was more about, I know for a long time, he was a leadoff hitter, and he was really good with seeing pitches, and he grinded out at bats. But lately, he doesn't get on base as much as you think. Last year, he dipped again. Like, over the past three or four years, he's dipped almost 100 points on his on base. His batting average has gone down significantly. His OPS gone down significantly. I'm not saying it's going to be that bad this year, but what I am saying is there doesn't need to be Brandon Nimmo at the top of the order. Like, it doesn't work as well as you think. I personally, if I'm going to give you the batting order in a second, I think that Brandon Nimmo is a back end of the guy, of the rotation guy, or back end of the lineup guy. That's all he is. And it's not a bad thing. He could be a guy that definitely, listen, he can give pitchers a tough time if he does it right. He does have a little pop in his bat. I don't know if, you know, last year with the plantar fasciitis, they already talked about him. He said he's at 91% health-wise when it comes to running full speed or whatever it is. So he's still injured from last year, which we knew last year was an issue. But it's funny because last year he stole 15 bases. Up until last year, his most was like three. He doesn't steal bases. He's not looking to advance. Like, he's a station, two-station guy. If a guy hits a ball in the gap, maybe he'll go advance on the base pass. He's not looking to go and try to steal a base. Like, that is what a leadoff hitter is supposed to do. That's what Francisco Lindor did last year. He almost stole 30 bases. Like, to me, Brandon Nimmo is not a one guy at all. He's not a leadoff hitter guy. And to be fair, you know, in recent, you know, I read an article yesterday, and I've seen this, obviously, you know, with Aaron Judge with the Yankees batting .200 up until last year when Juan Soto batted .200. You know, that's the new thing. Your best hitter doesn't bat third. They put him second overall. And supposedly the numbers are more significant where your best hitter is batting .200. They get more at-bats. They get more opportunities to drive in runs, all this other stuff. So if anybody that thinks that Brandon Nimmo is your .200 hitter, to me, you must be sick in the head. Like, he doesn't deserve that. I mean, you want to put him at a .500 spot in the lineup, maybe, but he's definitely not your .200 hitter, that's for sure. If my ideal lineup was like this, I would put... Now, here's the thing, right? I'm torn because I want Juan Soto to really, really have a great season. And I think that there's certain lineups here that can benefit Soto, can benefit Pete Alonso. In the end, I think they're all going to benefit Francisco Lindor because he's going to have somebody batting behind him that's going to drive him in. So if Lindor can do what he did last year and just that second half of the season just continue to rake and get on base, I mean, he's going to score a ton of runs. But the ideal lineup for me is Francisco Lindor 1, Juan Soto 2, Mark Vientos 3, Pete Alonso 4, and then split between Starling Marte and just Jesse Winker 5. And the reason why that is if you look at their numbers, again, we go off of numbers here sometimes. You look at Jesse Winker, last year he put up amazing numbers versus right-handers. So if you put him in as your, if you're splitting Winker and Marte as your platoon for DH, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Winker last year, I think his I forgot what his batting average was, but he had 12 home runs, drove in like, you know, 50-something RBIs. His OPS was 850, I think, or close to it, close to 8. But his numbers were significantly better. I mean, really didn't have any numbers versus lefties. They just weren't good. Everything he did was versus right-handed pitchers. And then Starling Marte, on the other hand, dude was a beast. Anything he did, again, was it didn't have a lot of power last year, but his home runs, everything, it all came off of left-handed pitchers. So if you split those two up, you are going to have a really good platoon at the five spot. And that's kind of what you need. You need Pete Alonso to have opportunities to drive in runs at the four. And if he can't do it, then you have to put up somebody who can. And I believe that if you platoon those two guys, Jesse Winker and Starling Marte, they're going to give you a really good opportunity to drive in runs. And then next up is Brandon Nimmo at 6. I know I love to try to put him at 9, but nobody wants to hear that. But if you put him at 6, you kind of reset the lineup again. And it's Nimmo at 6. You put Francisco Alvarez probably at 7. You know, with Tyrone Taylor and Siri at 8, and then Jeff McNeil, then he's there to reset the lineup at 9. I don't see why what is wrong there whatsoever. Again, if you think Nimmo can get on base and you put Alvarez after him, guys should have an opportunity to score some runs now. Guys should have an opportunity to drive in some runs with Alvarez, and Nimmo should be able to get... Now, do me a favor, Nimmo, just steal some more bases. Now, again, the plantar fasciitis might be an issue, but you're going to have opportunities. 888-808-1019, that is the number to call. Let's get to back to the phone calls. Joe in Port St. Lucie. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, Hoff? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm going to be down there in, what's today, the 15th, we're going to be there in about 2-3 weeks.
I'll buy you a beer over here. I'll buy you a beer.
All
we
right.
Can do a live Rico or something.
We are. That's what Evan and I are going to do. We are going to be down at Port St. Lucie. We're going to spring training on March 8th and 9th, and we're going to go, I think it's going to be in Jupiter on the 8th, and then the 9th is Port St. Lucie. So, yes, we're going to be there. We're going to be doing some live Ricos.
The weather feels nice down here. I tell you that right now, man. The weather feels nice.
I tell you what doesn't feel nice, the weather up here, dude. It is freezing. I don't care. The snow's finally melting right now, but I don't care, dude. It's still freaking cold.
I don't miss it. I do not miss it at all.
Yeah.
I got to say that this lineup could change dramatically. If you had somebody like a real person batting first, and I know Lindor's great at first, but first half of the year, he's batting 220. If you had somebody like back in the day, like early 2000s, who, you know, got on base, walked a lot, you know, I would like to see, you know, in the minor leagues, you have these guys like Acuna, the kid Jet, you need to train them just to, like, have a great eye. Because there really is, like, the dying breed is the leadoff guy. I mean, it wasn't a few years ago they used to have Aaron Judge batting first. The whole thing was, oh, have your best guy bat first. And that was two. But, I mean, the dying breed is, if you have somebody who can, you know, actually bat first, like somebody who's not going to hit a lot of home runs, maybe 5-6, but like almost like how Jose Reyes was. I mean, he did have a lot of more pop, but somebody who can get on there, you know, swipe a bag, but just get on base for these guys. Then you can play around, put, you know, Lindor 2 or 3, you know, Soto wherever you want to put him 2 or 3. Then it's, you know, everything else, you know, really grows. But I just feel like, you know, and it's not even the Mets, it's all around the league. There really isn't that, like, you know, how it was back in the day with all the leadoff guys who were just like that, like, predominant, fast guy, you know, is going to make you work. Like, kind of how Brandon Nimmo was, where he used to, you know, back in the day, this guy was taking almost, like, 11 pitches per at-bat.
Right, now, his at-bats were much better, yes, that is correct. They're not good at all.
I agree with you. I like Nimmo ninth. I always like that, like, second leadoff guy ninth.
Yeah,
always like that.
Nobody likes putting him ninth because they think that he is they. A lot of people think that Brandon Nimmo is much better than he is, and that's fine. But I think that Jeff McNeil then has to be there because, again, he's another guy that can reset the lineup. And the point is this: is that you have to try to. You know, Francisco Lindor is your guy. He's your workhorse. And I know that you don't like him being the leadoff guy. But to be honest with you, it clicked for him last year. That's where he thrived the most. Yeah. They put him on leadoff, and all of a sudden he went off. And if he's going to be the tone setter, you know, that's great to start the game. But again, eventually, there's going to be situations where, you know, we need to put him up to the plate with runners in scoring position. And so McNeil, you know, at one point in time, he couldn't hit the ball. He could actually get on base. So it's time for him to grow up again. And if he wants to be on this team and be productive, he's got to show it. So put him at that ninth spot, make him work for it, and make him get on. But Joe, thank you so much for a phone call. I don't know where you went there. But yeah, I mean, I know that Brandon Nimmo, I would love to put him ninth. Because again, for everybody, for all those people that say that Brandon Nimmo is a great leadoff hitter and should be, you know what, then give him reverse it. Make it a role reversal here. You put him at nine and you sit there and say, listen, you want to earn that spot to be a 1-5 guy, go out there and earn it. Go out there and show it. Go be back to what you were and be productive and get on base. And we're going to give you an opportunity where you could do that in front of Francisco Lindor. You know, when you get up, you set the tone again. That's what you do. So, you know, we will see what happens. Again, what we've learned is it doesn't make a difference what I even say, because even if they do that lineup that I said, they're going to change it 143 more times. I mean, we found out that last year the Mets had 143 lineups. Whether it's through injury, through people getting cut, through trades, whatever the case is. I mean, remember, Zach Short, Joey Wendell, how many other players were up and down? You know, there's going to be so many people that are up and down on this Mets team eventually just because of injuries, because they're terrible, because we want to do a rookie call-up for a week. Like, there's going to be so many different lineups. It doesn't really make a difference. But I do think that the ideal lineup is something closer to where what I've been saying. And even I'll settle for Nimmo batting sixth, and that'll be fine. 888-808-1019. Coming back, we will talk about the Four Nation tournament that is wasting our TV channels right now, or wherever you can see it, because NHL really screwed themselves with this one. But we'll get into that coming up next. 888-808-1019. You can always hit me up at Hoff WFAN. And what you're listening to right now, SNL is celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they did a post-Nirvana. That's right, Post Malone sang on stage with the rest of the remaining members of Nirvana, David Grohl, Chris Novoselic, Pat Smear, and they did a rendition of "Smells Like Teen Spirit." Now that this is, it was awesome. I listened to it during the break. It was sick. And I thank you, Jack, for getting that song ready and playing it on air. Love it. Awesome. This is not the first time, though, that Post Malone's done this. And I believe this is going to be a thing now, because during the pandemic, when everyone was just like kind of locked up and no one was getting out, it was the height of the pandemic, and everyone was just like not sure what to do with life, Post Malone and Travis Barker put on a show, and they put on a cover show, and they just did a bunch of Nirvana songs. That's what they did. I forgot how many songs they played, but I want to say that they played for like a good hour and change, and it sounded great. And honestly, like, he, Post Malone, I'm not really sure how his about all of his other music. I know some of it is good. You know, he's a pop guy, top 40 guy. He's got a mix of sounds. But now he's kind of into country, I think, now. But regardless, he could definitely pull off Nirvana. And him and Travis Barker, I believe, are going to put out a cover record of Nirvana songs eventually. And I think they can go on tour with it if they really want to, because I'd watch that. I think it's cool. I've always been a Nirvana fan, so that's the one band that I was never able to see. Trust me, I've seen every band in the world that I've wanted to see. Even the ones that I didn't want to see, I've probably been able to see them. Nirvana was the one band that I was never able to see, and that, to me, I would actually go see that. But that was awesome. They did a good rendition of it. He's into it. Definitely grew up on it. So, I mean, and the fact that the boys from Nirvana are, you know, obviously played with him is super cool too. So, I'm just very happy to see. But again, SNL 50 looks crazy, man. I mean, Jack, I don't know how, what era were you, Jack? Were you ever an SNL person?
Yeah, I can say I'm a big diehard SNL guy, but I kind of grew up like with, more of the newer people, but I like when like.
Well, who's the newer people? Like who was on there? Like I was Will Ferrell. I didn't like. I'm forgetting his name. Chris Kattan. Chris Kattan. I wasn't a big fan of him, but I know he was on there. Rachel Dratch. Not Kudrow. Who was the Molly Shannon with the girl that smells her fingers? Where they have to put them in the armpits?
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's Molly Shannon. But like the goal, like so, like I. That was the era, like Adam Sandler, Chris Farley. Those were the
those guys were hilarious.
Yeah,
on that show.
those were the amazing days. Now, I'm not saying that there were some good ones before or after, but those were definitely Norm Macdonald, Colin Quinn doing the updates. I mean, those two guys were just freaking awesome. So I'm very happy that SNL's doing the 50th. But and it seems like it's incredible. Like I know that they're having everybody back. Dana Carvey, David Spade. I'm trying to think who else is making their way. The cast, I think, is endless. I just saw in the crowd, like, it looked in the crowd, like, Martin Short was there. It seems like everybody and their mother is there, so it's going to be sick. I guess it just happened yet today. I thought it was supposed to happen on Saturday.
I thought it was too. I think the character you're thinking of is it Mary Catherine with the Molly Sharon's character?
Oh yeah,
that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Did you see the movie Saturday Night? It came out back in the fall. It talked about the first the hour and a half that led up to the very first episode.
Oh, wait, that's a document, not a documentary.
It's a movie. It's not a documentary. It's
I forgot who's in it, but
Dylan
yes.
O'Brien plays Aykroyd. He's the only guy that I know. Everybody else, it's like Belushi, Chevy Chase, like these actors.
It's the original
like the hour, cast. First hour and a half that leads up before the first ever Saturday Night Live episode.
Really?
It's 1975, October of 1975, and it's like one long shot. It was pretty cool. I saw it in the theaters. It was good.
It's in the theaters or it's on like kind of streaming?
It's on Netflix if you want to stream it.
Got
Netflix,
it, good. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
No, it's good.
So it's worth it, though. And now, absolutely. And is it like a pressure situation? Like, explain to me what the premise is.
Yeah,
here.
So it's Lorne Michaels just kind of like running around.
Who, by the way, is 80 years old.
I know.
Lorne Michaels is 80 years old. It's freaking nuts.
Yeah, so it's him basically, like, all this like last minute craziness that goes on, like that went on before the show. And all this crazy stuff happens. It's amazing, like, the people that he cut. Like, he actually cut, I think, Billy Crystal. He literally was like, yeah, dude, like, the show was like 3.5 hours before they actually aired. And they were like, it has to be shorter. Like, it can't be this long. It's like all the pressure stuff of him, like, making all these last-minute decisions, last-minute cuts. And, like, it's kind of crazy who he does cut and what he cuts out and what he puts in.
So Billy Crystal wasn't able to be on that first episode or wasn't able to be on SNL ever? I feel like he was on SNL.
He was on SNL, but I think they cut him like from like the skip.
The first
episode.
Got it.
So he like, yeah, basically he's like, oh, like, can you, like, basically went to Billy Crystal, oh, can you make your comedic strip a minute to like 10 seconds? And he was like, no, I can't do that. Like, I literally, that's not enough time. It's like, all right, well, then your thing's out. Sorry. It was crazy. It was really interesting. But,
I got to take a look at that.
You should see it, for sure.
Right now I'm seeing, like, Eddie Vedder's there. Let's see, who else is there? Obviously, Will Ferrell's there. You have Cher, Lady Gaga, Lorne Michaels, obviously. I mean, I'm just kind of looking through some of the videos that they have on there. Sherry O'Terry, I think, is going to be there. I mean, dude, everybody is there. So I saw a post from Dan Aykroyd about the SNL thing, and he's like, dude, I've never been part of something so cool in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
that's so sick.
I definitely have to check it out. Jack White right now, as I'm looking at it, too. There's just a lot of cool things. Adam Sandler, again, introduced post Nirvana, which was Post Malone and Nirvana.
That was pretty cool.
Together. Yeah. Very cool. So go check that out. But I'm also going to check it out when I get home later on this morning. Let's get back to the phone calls. 888-808-1019. Mike is in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Peter. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited about this SNL stuff, dude.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. First of all, wish your wife a happy birthday, by the way.
I will. Thank you. I definitely
Will. Billy Crystal was, remember, you look marvelous, darling.
Right, exactly. I thought he, exactly.
And I hate when that happens. Oh, yeah, you know when you take knitting needles? And he's really good in SNL. I also like Farley, too. Farley was fantastic.
Farley was the best. By the way, they're going to make a Farley movie, and I know the guy that's going to play Farley, and he's going to be ridiculous, in an amazing way. But Farley was one of the best.
All right, he was awesome. Dude, first of all, by the way, you with the puzzle and C-Mac, what is up with you guys? C-Mac last night was telling the story about his first Valentine's with his wife. And, she's like a teacher and they went bowling a couple times. So, like,
oh, that was nice.
He bought her a bowling ball for his Valentine's Day present. I'm like, you're a real suave devil there.
I mean, listen, C-Mac, he got the girl at the end of the day. He got the girl.
True that.
Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with puzzles. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with puzzles. It gets your...
Valentine's Day, though? Yeah, this
I got to be honest with you. I guess
one of the weekends you could do that.
I guess I'm getting old, Mike. I guess that's what that means, is that I'm getting very, very old.
Okay, before we get into mess point, when are you taking me for this, like, pizza or beer, whatever we're doing here? Like, this has been, like, 2 years now. Right? What the? You lose five bets, you know? Forget it.
Listen, there's a lot that I have to pay off, so we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
But
first of all, I don't want to go out right now in this stupid weather. I'm tired of the cold. I'm over it. Every time I have to go walk my stupid dog, she doesn't know where to go to the bathroom because there's snow everywhere and she's freezing. And it's like, dude, I don't want to be out here, but you can't go to the bathroom in the house. So this is what we do. This is your problem and not mine. Just go. But I have no choice. She just takes forever. And then she sit there and sniff the snow for about a half hour. She walks around, shakes a little bit, and then we go back inside. Yeah, I'm like, we have to go back out and do this again. So there's a lot going on. Very frustrated with this weather.
I hear you. But so let's get into Messi's. Listen, I just don't understand the team play, to God, honest truth. I don't understand the pitching. I don't think, I was listening to Sally Tech when I texted this afternoon because he was going, Met fans don't understand how good. So I'm like, yeah, but Soto can't bat 1-9, right? So
hold on. With Pete Alonso there now, I'm much more comfortable with this lineup than it was before Pete Alonso. And which is crazy. What? Which is crazy to say, like, oh, well, Pete Alonso changes everything. But he kind of does. He gives you that. The one thing that was missing was a power bat. They have it now. You brought in Juan Soto. You have to replace basically JD Martinez. Everything else is the same. That's a good lineup, dude.
Yeah, but okay. So basically, you're saying put Alonso behind Soto or put Vientos behind Soto?
I say put Vientos behind Soto. Because it gives you an extra layer of protection. I know that some people will say, well, you need to get Pete Alonso to get, like Evan wants Pete Alonso to bat second so that you can give him protection. So that you can just kind of make sure that Juan Soto bats after him, and that'll help Pete Alonso out. I say, let Pete Alonso bat fourth right now. Let there be people on base. Yeah. If Vientos is going to hit the way he did last year, you're going to have – I'm telling you right now, Pete Alonso is going to get up with a ton of guys on base all season long. He's going to get 100-plus RBIs. It's going to happen.
Just as long as they don't pitch him sliders outside and he swings at everything. But half the battle with him. But what about pitching, man? What about pitching? I'm still so
– I know, Mike. You're hung up on this pitching thing, and I got to tell you something. I'm not totally – disregarding it, but I will say this much, all right? And it's frustrating me that I have to sit there and defend them. But the pitching staff is not as bad as I think we make it out to be. Manaea is good. Senga, as long as he's healthy, is going to be good. You know that. Like, those two guys, they're not great. They're good. You're going to have enough pitching. If Peterson can be half as good as he was last year, then you got three amazing pitchers or great pitchers. Clay Holmes is going to be an experiment. And then the rest of it's going to be, can you...
Canning, Blackburn.
Well, I'm not even worried about Blackburn so much. I don't really buy into him so much. But it's going to be a six-man rotation. You're going to have guys that are going to get called up from the minors here and there. It's going to be you're going to see a lot of guys pitch that, I'm not saying they're going to have openers, but there's going to be a lot of weird situations going on this year. And maybe eventually Clay Holmes goes back to the bullpen, who you never know. But
it's not going to pass last pass May.
There's enough options right now that I feel comfortable. Like, I'd prefer to go into... I'd prefer, Mike, to go into the season with a lot of options rather than, all right, these are my five, and we're moving forward. Someone's getting hurt. Someone's getting hurt. You got to get through the game. Yeah. You got to get through the innings. You got to get through the games, man. You have to. And they have enough people to get you through them.
You know, out of all of us, like, Flea is always, like, usually the voice of reason. Right. So I was talking to him. He was talking me off the freaking bridge the other day. I was like, dude,
he's like, Mike, they have to do it. They have to have, like, multiple pitchers. I said, yeah, but he goes, the Dodgers doing the same thing. I'm like, yeah, but that's quality of the Dodgers pitchers versus the quality of the guys that we have.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's so different, Mike. I mean, they have Snell, they have Glasnow, they have Yamamoto, they have Suzuki. I mean, yeah, you're right. They freaking have. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right, exactly. They have amazing pitching
Kershaw,
staff. Yeah.
Sheehan. They have guys that, like, they have literally 10 starting. I was looking at it the other day.
Dustin May. Yeah. Well, listen, we have 10 pitchers. Don't we have Sprout? Isn't he coming up, Sprout?
Oh, my God. I'm going to give you Sprout. I can't give you Sprout. Listen, Peter, always a pleasure. No, I love you. Have a great night. And maybe, you know, before, like, I get to be 80, we can go out.
All right. Well, we're getting close to that, right?
I'm going to knock you out. I'll talk to you later.
Mike, I'll catch you later, buddy. All right, man. Happy Valentine's Day, as I like to say. Happy belated Valentine's Day. All right, let's get to the update. We'll come back. We'll touch that hockey story that I meant to talk about, but I got sidetracked with SNL. So 888-808-1019. We'll come back, talk a little Four Nations hockey tournament that we have to watch. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoff with you on The Fan. Hit me up at HoffWFAN. But right now, an update, Marco Belletti.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.